This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Favorite Dynasty format, rookie quarterbacks, and film versus analysis with Shane Manila of Destination Devi and Trades in 5. And Shane, we do a lot of rapid-fire stuff, and I thought you were going to be up for this just in terms of we're going to get to know you as well as just talking a lot of random things. This is a perfect June-July kind of topic here where nothing's really changing. You know, you're getting little reports here and there from NFL teams, from college teams, but this is really a good time to spread your wings and kind of go profiling in a number of different ways. I want to start off here. What's your favorite rookie quarterback at cost? So obviously you might prefer QB1, but again, cost of the whole rookie draft, what do you got?
Okay, so I can't say Caleb Williams. I can't just be chalk.
Oh, you can if you want.
Caleb Williams. I can't say Jaden Daniels.
If getting him at 101 is your idea of the best value, go for it, man. Doesn't have to
Jaden
be a 400
pick. It's right. Jaden Daniels, right? So I was going to say Michael Penix because I'm just like, oh, he's QB 25. All he needs to do is hit a little bit and then you can flip him. But then I'm like, but the dude's 24. And then I looked at the list of quarterbacks that have come into the league at 24 in the first round. It's horrendous and ugly. And all the other adjectives and superlatives, that's not the word, right off the bat. That's the description of me using a word that's incorrect and mispronounced.
You're out halfway through the word.
Yeah. All the bad things you could say about a quarterback that that's the description of quarterbacks coming in and old. So let's go with Drake May. After all that, let's just go with Drake May. We'll land in the middle. QB3, sometimes QB4 off the board. I like him more when people take J.J. McCarthy over him. I like Drake May a lot.
You get May at seven or eight, you get McCarthy to him first. Yeah.
I've seen Drake May, and this isn't in, I don't want to say this meanly, in particularly sharp leagues, but I've seen May fall to 9 or 10, which is just ridiculous. And even in leagues where I don't need quarterbacks,
who's going over him? Brian Thomas or something? Jonathan Brooks?
Roman Dunze. JJ McCarthy. I've seen Brian Thomas Jr. Go over him. Like I said, not particularly sharp leagues. I don't want to say that people aren't sharp. I'll just say people might be placing need over talent. And
surprisingly, they don't need quarterback. That's a whole other show. Going into a rookie draft and saying you don't need quarterback. I think how many Superflex teams does that apply to? You didn't even know if you need quarterback. It's too early to know that.
There's not many Superflex leagues or teams that you can go, I don't need a Drake May. I can see passing up on a Michael Penix, a Bo Nix, but you don't pass up on a Drake May, even a JJ McCarthy, but neither here nor there, I guess, or actually completely here and there.
Yep. Flipping this, and you already mentioned 4 rookie quarterbacks or 5, so you've already covered almost the whole gamut here, but what rookie quarterback is most likely to be an early declared and clarity bust like Zach Wilson?
So anyone that watches Trades in 5 already knows my hatred of Bo Nix. So I don't want to kick a dog when he's down. Also, you shouldn't kick dogs because you'll go to prison for that. So I don't want to keep picking on Bo Nix. I'll go with J.J. McCarthy because he's picked up a lot of love and I don't like it. Just for fun, I wanted to look at yesterday. I looked up yesterday. Bo Nix has 200 and excuse me. J.J. McCarthy, we're not picking on Bo Nix. It's just like second nature at this point. I was just coming out of my mouth. I want to pick on Bo Nix. J.J. McCarthy, 239 fewer pass attempts in his college career than Drake May, despite starting 10 more games in his college career. Everything with J.J. McCarthy is I think and I wish. Which, there's some advanced metrics that tell you he could be good. I just would have liked to seen it over a larger sample size because lots of things can happen when the sample size is larger. When sample size is small, more sample size can make things very different. Could he be very good? I guess. But again, that sample size is really, really small. I think it's a lot of wish casting. We talk about how good that run game was. Well, guess what? That's really helpful for a quarterback when nothing is dependent upon you. Literally nothing was dependent on him in Michigan. So I think J.J. McCarthy is the one that could bust, besides the obvious, you know, the quarterbacks after him, which I think there's less pressure on them or less expectation on them. So the quarterbacks with expectation, I'll say J.J. McCarthy.
Also, I found it a little weird that all the talk was you're going to have to trade up. McCarthy's going to be someone that the Vikings are going to have to pay up with a future first round pick or more capital, move into the top 4 or 5. And he just kind of went all the way there, and they probably would have got him at 10. You know, I mean, it wasn't that they didn't think he was going to go to 11. It was that a team would jump over the top of the trade, you know. And also, let's remember, we can make fun of Atlanta. They picked Penix over him. So there's a lot of quarterbacks that went ahead of him. And there's also the fact that,
yes,
he waited in the draft a lot longer than people thought, you know, and it's like, oh, well, he still went to Minnesota. It's like the Will Levis to Tennessee thing. They passed on him and then they got him later. Like, that's not a good thing.
Right.
You didn't like him that much. Either Kieran Williams or Blake Corum's dynasty value is going to look silly in December. Which one is it?
Man, so I did I have my own show, Shane Says, on the Destination Devi YouTube channel. And I talked about running backs several episodes ago. And one of the things I talked about was Kyren Williams is kind of really not looking forward to him next year as someone that's going to be a elite. And part of the reason is because, well, he had a 78% opportunity share last year, fourth in the league. It's pretty among running backs. Just to clarify, just in case somebody thought I was just talking, I don't know, among everything. I don't know what offensive. I don't think offensive linemen fall into this. They don't have opportunity shares, but just in case someone thought they did. 78% opportunity share, fourth highest among running backs. Pretty good chance Blake Corum cuts into that a little bit, right? Then there's the cost. So I went on the DLF's ADP, just wanted to check it out. And this isn't super flex because I don't play in single quarterback league. So no offense to anyone that does, but I don't. Running back 6 in DLF's ADP, and KTC is the running back 10. Why there's that discrepancy, I don't know. You talk to them, figure it out. Not you particularly, whoever's listening. Talk to DLF and KTC. So he's 401 in 12 team startups in DLF. That's pretty expensive. Then you look at Blake Corum. He's RB37 in DLF, RB24 in KTC. That dude is basically free. So one has absolutely no risk, and the other has all the risk. And the one that has all the risk that's expensive also has injury concerns. Broke his foot 2 years ago, and his foot's bothering him enough 2 years later that he misses OTAs. He has fumbling concerns. He only played in, what was it, 12 games last year? Whatever it was, he missed a significant portion of the year. They drafted a running back pretty highly, a running back that has a skill set that can actually step in and play all three downs and is good enough to, if not take his job — I'm not saying he'll take his job, but he's good enough to take a significant portion of that job. So if Kyren Williams falls into a role where it's, say, a 65-35 split, is he good enough to be a top 12 running back? I think so. But is he then going to be a top 6 running back? I don't think so. And I think that's where he's you know, his price is on DLF. On KTC, it's more running back 10. So maybe, you know, that ADP will be more. I'm not going to.
I still don't think if you pay running back 10 right now, you're going to like it, because
no.
if you pay running back 10 and you don't have probabilities to be a top 3, 4, 5 running back, what are you doing? Right. I mean, this is the argument with some quarterbacks. If you don't see a ceiling,
you're
paying a price that's basically around their ceiling. You know, you could get that for cheaper, you know, most likely. Right. And
Blake Corum, I'm paying running back 24. Anything he gives me, any weeks that he gives me that he's a top 10 running back, top 15 running back, it's a win. And he's going to give me those on the weeks that Kyren's out. And that's really all I'm looking for. He gives me any top 12 weeks next year, it's a win. And then obviously anything going forward after that, it's even more of a win. I don't know what a multiple win is. It's a multiple win. It's a multiple winner.
Yeah. Just sitting there waiting for the hand there grenade to go off. Which round one pedigree rookie wide receiver are you avoiding at their cost?
I think this is easy, right? It's Ricky Purcell, right? He's our age. Maybe
you're
a little younger.
You're an ageist. I'm getting that already.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a little younger than us. I'm wearing a hat, but there's balding. You're not wearing
point,
a hat.
I think he's 24.0.
24
for week one, yeah.
Yeah, week one, 24. His profile is okay. He's the opposite of an early declare. He should be working on his doctorate. I don't know if he was with that extra year in college. I hope he took advantage of it because he really should have been. Fifth year college player. I know there was the COVID year, right? So we're giving a lot of college football players that COVID excuse. I don't know when that runs out, right? COVID was a
year or two from now. COVID was. Yeah.
So I can't wait till that COVID excuse is done so that we can stop blaming the fact that you weren't good in college on COVID.
You know, you didn't have to take the extra year. It's not mandatory. They could have just come out. We still had early declares and we still had 21-year-olds, but then we started getting 23, 24, 25-year-olds more commonly. Right.
Yeah, we have multiple receivers players that were good enough to come out despite COVID, but he wasn't one of them. He was not one of them. And I know
even though you can get him at like 204, 205, and he's like a lot of times the cheapest first rounder, not enough for you.
Yeah, no. And I don't like.
Have you taken him? Or are you 0 for 0?
I have 0 for 0. I'm not one of those guys.
That's how low do you have to go? You still wouldn't take him.
Running back.
So you're the type that if you're not in on a player, like the cost is relatively irrelevant.
Yeah. Because what's the point of having one guy? So part of this is I play in more than a few leagues, right? I play in 31 leagues,
okay,
which is actually down from how many I used to play in. So it's not that many to me. It might be a lot to others. Might be not many to others that I play with. But what's the point of having 3% portfolio?
Yeah, one share. I mean, I don't know.
It's annoying.
Open to being wrong. It's annoying.
It's, you know,
I don't want to have to search to see that one league you have for keep your sign because you want to sell them and you can't stand them.
Either you're in or out, right?
Okay.
Right. So if you believe in a player, go get them. If you don't believe in them, don't have them in one league to hedge your bets. You know, either you believe in them or don't.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm okay with one share if a guy that I'm like 50-50 on. And it's like, you know, I can't fade first round wide receivers. I just can't when they're that cheap.
Yeah.
I'm open to being wrong. So,
and
here's the one thing I'll say about Pearsall, and trust me, it's crazy that I'm saying pro Pearsall here, because I'm really not. I'm with you. Like, there's so many flags in his profile, but I'll say this: if Brandon Ayuk were traded during the draft, after the Pearsall selection, where would he be going now? And most people have said he's a first round pick.
Yeah.
So you're getting a half a round discount on a situation that Debo or Ayuk is probably gone next offseason is the most likely outcome. So you're going to get to there. So aren't you already locking in a profit?
Yeah. So I do struggle with that, right? So if he goes out there next year and let's say he
doesn't even have to play. I'm just talking about like February.
I don't. So, well, if one of those two gets traded, but if he doesn't play next year, so let's say he has 300 yards receiving, I think his. Yeah. Even with Ayuk or Debo moving on, I still think his value craters.
I've seen this a million times, Shane. And again, I don't play this game. I'm just saying I would play it with a first round wide receiver. Yeah. That they're pretty. Look at Jackson Smith-Njigbe, for goodness sake. Like he gets. I don't know who. I don't know what his deal is, but he gets every pass by everybody. He's going to be great in his year two. Tyler Lockett's going to leave. Tyler Lockett didn't leave. Tyler Lockett didn't let you pass him, and he's back. So it's just like, if he doesn't, I don't know. It's very confusing how some guys get a complete pass and are insulated, and some guys, as you're saying, like Pearsall would not be.
Yeah. And I look, trust me, I've been beating up Jackson Smith-Njigbe for the last 6 months and getting a lot of pushback on it. But I'll say Jackson Smith-Njigbe at least went out there and scored what 8.5 fantasy points per game, which isn't good for a rookie for what that's worth. But at least it's something. So I'm saying if Pearsall goes out there and doesn't
your
even do
fear
that,
is Pearsall has like 300 yards.
Yeah. Now, if he goes out there and gives you a JSN season and Ayuk moves on, you're right.
Isn't the situation good enough that as long as he gets enough snaps, like he's gonna show enough?
He can. No? There's definitely a path where you can go ahead and move this dude for a first next year.
I don't know if you know this, Shane. He's one of the best route runners of all time. Watch this guy run a route. Yes. That's one of my favorite things. Look at this guy run one route at Florida. And it's like, that's going to justify everything.
And we'll get there. And I couldn't tell you if that's true, false, made up or otherwise. You show me, like, I'll see a clip and I'll be like, yeah, dude, that's sickening. But that's just because other people have told me, like, the defender could just fall down for all I know. And
there should
I'll
be an X
think
account
because a receiver.
There should be an X account that all they do every day is show one really great play from every single player known to man. It's just like a highlight reel where you say, this is the best moment of Ray Davis. This is the best moment of Jermaine Burton. Like, you just keep going, and every day you feature a guy, and it's like a hype video. Like, well, they're all good. They're all great. They all deserve orange slices at halftime.
You know that we get a ton of views, actually.
I know. It would be super popular. Have it be a trolling sort of thing. If just like, this guy's great, he's a super sleeper, draft him. And you say that about every single player. That's my knock on podcasts, is they put up so many sleepers, you can't possibly roster all of them. So it's very confusing.
Wait, you don't play in
50-man
rosters?
50-man offense only, one quarterback, no tight end mandatory, so I can just really hone in on these wide receivers.
Yes.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, would you trade Christian McCaffrey for Jonathan Brooks and a 25 first?
No. Also no, and still no. So just for fun, I just wanted to compare Christian McCaffrey to the QB1 scoring last year. Christian McCaffrey last year, 24.5 points. Josh Allen, your QB1, 24.2. Last year, 2022, it was a little dip. He would only have been the QB5 with 21 points per game. No, I'm not doing that. He's basically an extra QB1 in.
He's untradeable, right? Like, and if you took over a really horrific orphan, might be your only chance or only mindset to trade him or something.
Yeah. I mean, and I like Brooks, I guess, as much as you can like a running back, which sounds awful. I'm not a running back guy. But if I'm going to flip CMC for another running back and a pick, it's got to be someone that's like Gibbs. It's got to be Devon Achane. It's got to be someone that's going to give me spike week, someone that I've seen it from. And even then, I'm going to feel yucky and dirty inside. And I'm not going to like myself. It's not going to be for Brooks.
Who's the biggest name dynasty quarterback you have zero shares?
We just mentioned him. Josh Allen.
You have no shares of Josh Allen.
No Josh Allen. I have no idea. Now, I do have Bizarro World, Josh Allen. I have Jalen Hurts, a lot of Jalen Hurts. I have 23% share, 23% rostership of Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
So I do like big name quarterbacks. I don't want anyone think I'm crazy and going zero quarterback out here. So
you never had a chance to get Josh Allen. That's kind of interesting.
I have. I haven't been willing to pay the price, or haven't been able to get him. or at times I've been able to pay a cheaper price to get Jalen Hurts, because there's been buying opportunities for Jalen Hurts, or I've gone another way and gotten a lot of Kyler Murray, who I have 30% roster ship of. But Josh Allen, it's hard to buy the QB 1-2, you know, in points per game. Jalen Hurts, for whatever reason, who has also been QB 2, QB 1 over the last couple seasons, he's a lot easier to acquire than Josh Allen. He just is. The opportunity has not been there for Josh Allen. Even now, like, you try to get him now, even though he, you know, a couple months after they traded Diggs, he had literally had me at wide receiver. I was on the depth chart, and no one wanted to trade him still at a reasonable price.
Who's your favorite NFL backup quarterback you would love to see start 10-plus games this year?
This is easy, right? It's Justin Fields. How can it not be Justin Fields?
For me, it's Mike White.
I'm
anti-Tua, and I want to see that offense with Mike White just to see nothing change.
I would love that, because there is...
We didn't get it last year. Tua was an Iron Man. No way it's 2 years in a row. No way.
There is a segment of the population that loves to tell you that Tua is good. And you're like, well, guys, he was like QB 16 last year.
The most alarming stat is he led the NFL in passing yards, and that was his fantasy result.
And they're like, yeah. And that's what I tell people. I'm like, bro, he just had his banner season. He just did the best he could, and he led the league in passing yards, and he was a middle of the road fantasy quarterback. Like, what else can he do? Like, it's not going to get better. So I would like to see Mike White back there. But Justin Fields, man.
Okay.
Fun fact. Justin Fields, he was top 8 quarterback in 6 of his 13 games. And then QB 15.
We're not disputing it. We're not disputing if he's a good fantasy quarterback. We're disputing if he's a good NFL quarterback. That's the big...
Oh, wait, real NFL? I didn't even think about that.
Oh, no, it's not. No, it could be for fantasy. I'm just saying, like I think Justin Fields is... That type of profile is so confusing, because at some point, you have to be a good NFL quarterback for us to feel good about you in Dynasty, because otherwise you won't hold a job. Yet Fields, we know every time he plays, he's going to be impactful fantasy-wise.
Oh, so it's really tough. And he won't hold the job. And he definitely will not hold the job. Yes, correct.
Oh, well, see, that's tough.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite? What's your favorite Dynasty League format?
All right. So
favorite league, you have 30-plus. What's your favorite one?
All right. So this is the newest favorite one, right? So it's like your kids. You like the newest one the most, I think. Hopefully they're in listening distance. Hopefully they didn't hear
They're that. All your favorite.
So we have one that we just started. It's a start 11, 2 QB, 3 running back, 4 wide receiver, 2 tight ends, no flexes. No flexes at all.
Wow.
Yeah. So we thought that would be interesting with all, you know, 3 running backs, no flexes.
It's going to really affect trading. I would imagine trading, it would actually go up because of the mandatories.
Yeah. So the startup just happened. There's only been a few trades. Well, the startup was 2 months ago, 3 months ago, whatever, a couple months back. There's only been a couple trades, because I think everyone's still kind of trying to figure this out, because I don't think any of us are used to not playing in a league with no flexes. I don't know that I've played in a league with no flexes since I was probably 15. And I imagine everyone I'm in the league with, same thing. And then it's got some, you know, the usual 1.75 tight end premium. There's PPC, there's rushing first downs, receiving first down bonuses. Then just for funsies, it's got some bonus points for 40-yard rushes, bonus points for 50-yard rushing touchdowns and 50-yard receiving touchdowns. So it's got a bunch of craziness, but I really love the whole no flexes thing, just because I haven't done that in forever. I don't know what we're going to do. I just want to see what happens. I've made one trade so far where I traded Jonathan Brooks, matter of fact, for Alvin Kamara in a pick. I think it was Jonathan Brooks in a third for Alvin Kamara in a second. That was the only deal, but that was like dipping your toe in the water type of trade. Nothing huge. It's going to be interesting. So that's my favorite right now.
See if this accept button works. Yes. Yeah, I like. I think it's I call that like a retro league. I mean, you can almost make it touchdown only and a few other twists and turns. I mean, the no flex. I mean, that almost blew my brain when you said it, because like, if anything, people are going towards the super flexes where it's like all flexes all the time. And I almost think people have argued that actually decreases trading, because it decreases any particular need you might have.
So, yeah, remember, so a few years ago, that was all the vogue Vogue? Vogue, definitely in Vogue, not the band. So it got crazy where it was like, yeah, you'd start it super flex and then 0 to 7 at every other position. And at first I was like, oh, this is cool. But then, like you said, there's no strategy because it's just whatever. Just stick the best player at each position. And I'm like, well, this kind of sucks. Like,
I think the idea for folks was like, oh, man, in the title game, we might have a team with 7 wide receivers versus 7 tight ends. It'll be fascinating. It's not really that fascinating.
And then there was no variation in the scoring either. So it wasn't like they were going, oh, well, it's 2-point tight end premium and it's 1.5 for running backs. It was just 1-point PPR. Like, there was no variation to it. And this league actually came about. We had a question on the Trades in 5 Tuesday live stream, and someone mentioned that it was a no flex league, and it was pretty much this setup. And we were like, oh no, this has to be, we're making this a listener league. Like, someone, we're starting this. And literally the next day we just started it. We're like, we're doing this.
What's the most unique or strange rule you've ever had in a dynasty league? So it doesn't have to be one you've played. Maybe it's the no flex thing, but crazy thing that either you love it, even if you hate it, that you've seen.
Probably tiered targets. Okay. Yeah. Wide receiver 0.25, running backs 0.5, and then tight ends 0.75. So that on top of the obviously the reception bonus that you get.
Okay. I have a league that all the defenses are rostered, and it's kind of interesting because you can flex them and they score really well. Like, the top defenses might be 20 points per game. It's randomness, but I've seen them traded relatively well. It's kind of cool, but I wouldn't want it in more than one of my leagues. It's like just a little twisty.
Yeah.
Building a team, auction or draft?
Draft. I suck at auction. Okay. Absolutely terrible at it. I can't trade as much during the startup because...
That's true.
Well, just because I can't. And I noticed there's less trading in general because I think other people also don't know how to quantify dollars versus picks. True. So... Drift. And I know other people, like some people like auction, they tell you it's a better way. Well, screw those people.
Yeah, sometimes you can't get the trade you want. Auction, you don't really need to do it. You just gotta pull out your wallet, pay more.
Yeah.
This is a good one. If you can never play Dynasty again or never watch an NFL game again, which would you choose?
Yeah, I'm not gonna watch football again. I can't not play fantasy.
Yeah,
I can't.
Okay. Do you honestly think you'd be better or worse if you never watched a game, like as a dynasty player? You think it hurts you, the optics?
I probably better. There's definitely biases from watching football.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. All right. Are you more of a sell a year too early or hold a year too long type?
Yeah, I am definitely an ageist. I think that comes out in most of what I say, but definitely a year early as opposed to late because... Well, I like being liquid. I want the assets. And when players get too old in Dynasty, obviously it's harder to move them and their liquidity drops. So I can't move them and I don't want that.
Can you give me an example of a player? It could be right now, could have been at a certain point in their career that it sounds a little nutty, but you were extreme in terms of, I'm going to make sure I'm early on this and not be holding the bag. So like a specific player or position and a certain age that you go, this is too much.
That's probably, I don't know if it really works out, but Travis Kelce, moving him 2 years ago because you can't move him now. But if you look back, that was fine last year, but obviously not 2 years ago before I moved him because he crushed 2 years ago. So it looked ungood. Devontae Adams, same thing, 2 years ago. It looked great last year, not so much the year immediately following when I traded him. So specifically players like that, generally you want it to, as soon as you move them, you want them to plummet because then you look really smart. But it doesn't always work out that way, unfortunately.
You could only use film or analytics. What would you do?
Oh man. Hopefully Ray doesn't listen to this episode.
But
it's going to be analytics. Although I'll say this about, you know, the site that I write for and produce shows for, or make shows. I definitely don't produce. It's definitely leaning on tools more, but analytics, because it's more quantifiable, right? I can cite them. I can look at a number and understand it. Okay. And maybe this is a me thing, obviously. Other people can look at film and understand it better. Like we were talking about earlier, Like someone can look at a break and understand what they're looking at. Like, oh, when that receiver comes out of his break, this is what he's doing correctly. All I see is dude goes fast and he hits him with a Euro step. You know what I mean? Like I don't know any of the technical stuff that he's doing that is correct or not. I just know that he got free. And even if he got free, sometimes he's doing stuff wrong. Well, he got free, so it looks good to me. Whereas, you know, analytics, I can look at a stat and say, okay, well, 70% of the time that this happened, it's a good, you know what I mean? That's a good thing. So just analytics, because numbers are really easy to quantify because, well, they're numbers.
Well, I'd argue too, like you wouldn't even know what the players are scoring if you used only film.
Right.
Like you need even base stats out of the box score. So to say you're doing no numbers in a game that is built around numbers and that's how you score points, and that's how you win in your league, it's kind of interesting. So if you have, my argument is always, if you have to only use one, you have to pick analytics. You have to.
Right.
And the film people still don't want to hear it.
Well, and even film people, right? And they even start to move towards, well, how do they grade? Okay, right. Well, he won.
System.
Right. He won on 70%, like, you know, like reception perception. Well, he won, you know, on man coverage, he won this percentage of routes. So, okay, eventually it comes down to analytics.
I have one major question, and this is not a dig on any particular person. I'm confused because I've watched before and done this whole, like, did they win the route? I did this with Corey Davis a bunch of years ago when he was in Tennessee, and I was like, I just want to see. I watched like 8 or 9 games. I watched every route. And zone coverage, I don't get how you can grade every route, because a lot of routes are, he ran the route, but the quarterback didn't even look his side, so he wouldn't even know if he is open. So what does it matter, is what I would say. It's literally prescribed that he's going the other way, so it's immaterial, and who knows if he even tried to win. The other part is, against zone coverage, depending on when you look at the route, he's open. He's not open. He's open again. Like, what does that mean? I don't get it. Zone, technically, you should be open every single time at some point. When are you looking? So these are the questions I have. Like, this whole winning versus zone, what does that mean?
Well, you're going to need to going to need to get Matt Harmon on here.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think today, exactly. I'll do this line. I think I would offend him with some of my questions. I'll just be like, I don't get it. It's like, you remember that scene in Big when he's talking about it? It's a building that turns into a, and he's like, I don't get it. He's like, what don't you get? It's like, well, it's not even like a bug. It doesn't turn it. You're not gonna play with a building. It's like, I don't get it. All right. From the production perspective, would you rather write a killer article or crush a podcast?
Podcast. You've actually been on a few shows with me, right? And I think everyone.
Crushed them all, Shane.
Yeah. Everyone that's listened to a podcast, see me on YouTube, will agree with this. I'm not polished, right? You can't hide that on a podcast. I can hide in writing my lack of polish, because I can edit. I can go through it repeatedly until I find the word. There's Grammarly that can help me fix words that don't exist. That can help me put words in the correct order. So I don't want to say easier, but there's things you can fix. There's ways you can hide you're not being polished. In a podcast and a YouTube show, you're just raw, right? And also, when I would listen to podcasts, when I would watch YouTube shows, there's not a lot of people, and I definitely don't mean this as a brag, there's not a lot of people that are like me, right? This is me, is not what I would assume or think someone that is successful in this field is, right? There's people that are good at this, speak their speech is much better, they're much more fluid, I'm trying to word this and I can't, so this is kind of proving my point. So when people reach out to me and they're like, dude, you killed that guest appearance, or your show was great yesterday, I'm like, wow, that's good for me. That feels good, because this isn't natural for me. You know, I really don't even like talking, you know what I mean? And it's funny, because in all of my day job, it's a ton of talking. I hate it. This, you know what I mean? Like what I do, YouTube shows, podcasts, it's a lot of talking, and I don't think it's natural for me. It's really not. So when I crush this, that feels good to me. Writing, it's not easy, but it's easier to present it in a polished form.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
One other thing I was thinking about is when you do a podcast, the word is forced, but you force someone to consume it how you're presenting it. And I think sometimes with an article, like I'm a scanner, I'm going to look for the numbers, I'm going to look for a chart, I'm going to look for the different headers, and what do I want to consume? So you skip this, skip that. So you can do the best writing you want, and it's like, they may only take away this little tiny, like I only read three sentences because that's what I wanted to, you know, I look for the takeaway, or I look for this or what, that. You can't really do that in a podcast. You kind of have to let them present it to you. And so I feel like, strangely, you have more control in a podcast of how you're presenting and how they're going to consume what you're trying, you know, the argument you're going to make, pitch.
Right.
Why aren't more dynasty leagues more than 12 teams?
I haven't a clue in the world. I think I was going to say, because that's just how, the number that we've always played at.
Yeah.
But that's not true, right? Because most home leagues, at least based on the questions I get, are either 10. Probably 10 teams. But
I think there should be more teams, right? We should have like 16.
I like 14. 14 feels like the perfect number, right? Because it's just challenging enough. When you get to 16 and there's bad teams in that league, it's like they can't recover. Like they're dead.
If you're planning in Superflex, you have to make it Superflex, right? I mean, or you have to make it one quarterback if you start going way up. And the other thing is, I don't know why we don't have the number of teams that you can have your regular season and everybody plays everybody once. Like, shouldn't that be the number?
Yeah.
Because, like, this whole scheduling thing, and I don't think people think about the schedule in 90% of leagues. They don't think about it at all. They just press create schedule. And it's like, it's not based on how you finished last year. It's the opposite of the NFL. The NFL is basically the better teams play the better teams from the year before, blah, blah, blah. Or you play out of your division. This is the division you play. I think there's just a lot of randomness. Oh, you play Joe twice. Oh, who cares? You know, like, and I just think that there's no thought that goes into it. We just get this like butterbrain of just like, oh, it's 12 teams. It's always 12 teams, blah, blah, blah. Like it can be any number you want. You can play against the median. How about you? What if you have a bye week? What if you have an odd number and you have a bye week, you know, for certain teams? Like I'm just saying, like, we don't think about it at all.
We definitely don't, because there's leagues that I'm in every year where I'll play someone twice, someone else never. I've played people three times in a season, and obviously never. Other teams, not at all. And it's like, wait a minute. Yeah. So I do like the median. I do like median scoring for every league I'm in. I want median scoring just to it's fair, get rid of some of the variance. But yeah, it is funny because we're so anal about everything else. And then, the schedule, I never really thought about that either.
Excited to start a league. And I think people only half ass the thinking about the league. Yeah. They just go, okay, 12 teams. We're going to have tight end premium. We're going to have super flex.
Yeah.
It's going to be a draft. Quickly, let's fill it and let's start it. And let's complain that people aren't picking fast enough.
Yeah.
Like they just rushed the whole thing. It's like, I thought this was important. Yeah. I thought this was enjoyable to you. Yeah. You really like it. And you rush through it. And then a year later, you're like, why did we do this?
Yeah. I never thought about that. That's funny. Now I'm going to have to go be a pain in the ass to every commissioner and everyone.
Dane, someday you're going to see a 15-man league and you're going to go, this is fascinating. It's like no flex all over again.
I love it.
All right, one more question. And I don't know what this is going to say about someone in general, but I think there's a lot of meat to this. What amount of money would someone have to offer you to not follow football, play fantasy, or speak of it again? It has to be completely removed from your brain, your consciousness. Think about the connections you have that if only you talk about fantasy with them or the NFL, you can't do it. You got to talk about, I don't know, cycling, daycare plus fishing, golf. You could take up any other sport. What's that number?
Okay, so, and this is going to sound stupid, right? But
I don't even know what the right answer is. I don't think
so. That's the problem, right? So I thought about this. I'm like, wow,
life change.
$2 million.
This is a major life change. $3 million.
Okay. $4 million. But then I thought about it. Like,
what are you going to do?
How? Right. So I thought about this. I go, okay, let me just think about my look. Let's remove this from my existence. So let me just walk through this. On the way to work, I can't listen to fantasy football podcasts anymore. When I'm at work, sitting at the desk, I can't listen to fantasy football podcasts anymore.
No.
I can't go on my Discord because I don't have a Discord. I don't have a patronage anymore.
Well, no, you would have a Patreon, but it might be about like music or pottery. Right. Or...
Okay. Tuesdays, I'm no longer streaming. I'm no longer going into my Discord about fantasy football. I'm no longer doing roster reviews. Oh, that's right. I'm no longer talking to any of my co-hosts. About football.
You'd have to call them and ask them about work and family
all day. Right. And which we talk about, but only when we've started talking about fantasy football. Right. Let's see. I'm not recording my show anymore.
Nope. You're in zero leagues.
In zero What's, leagues.
What would be your hobby? What would take up all your time, Shane? All your bandwidth? What would do?
I'm not watching football anymore.
Right. Are you? Is there another sport that is like, again, completely secondary that you're like, I guess I would have to become an addict of basketball or whatever it is?
So I'm not even going over every Sunday going over my best friend's done. Not doing that. So there's
you can't watch.
You can't. There's nothing like I don't want to sound like it's my whole existence, but it's ingrained. It's that scene in Avengers Endgame or whatever, the one when they kill Vision. When they're trying to take, you know, untangle all the things in his brain to take out the whatever stones in there. It's basically that, you know, it's exactly that because, there's so many friendships that were developed because of it that are intertwined with it. And there's so many other parts that are just ingrained in my being. And a lot of people are like this and not just content creators, but especially content creators. Because so much of our daily existence,
it's woven into your entire life.
It's our schedule.
When you check your phone, what I always say is I find it interesting when I look at other people and they're looking at a TikTok video of someone dancing and it's like, they're looking at this or like so many, like I view that, it's kind of weird. I view it as like a waste. I'm like, you're literally, when I'm on my phone, if it's football related, it's technically work related. It's fun,
yes,
but it's technically work related. And so I always make it like, well, what if I was a stockbroker? I'm always constantly checking the market or doing this, doing that. And it's like, so the most people, I think, spend their phone for recreational purposes almost only.
Yeah.
And so your phone, your device, when you go on there and check an email, from that moment on, it's not going to be from someone you know that's football related. It just isn't, which is kind of wild. It's going to change your whole life.
Dude, like even so, just as we're going through it, I forgot. So even when I'm at the gym, I'm on the treadmill. I'm listening to a fantasy football podcast. I have my phone.
Listening to music, death metal, like everybody else in there.
I have my phone up so that I can see it.
Yeah.
Big font. And I'm trying to read articles. Yeah. So I just, all I literally bad. Don't, I don't know what I would do. I don't. I'm sure I'd find another hobby.
Wow.
But I'm old enough, 45. If I wanted another hobby, I would have found it by now. And that's
it sounds
what
like
I
you
would
don't have time.
Over.
It sounds like football takes up your whole bandwidth of the time you have remaining in terms of free time, so to speak. Yeah. So
there's fantasy.
You don't
football
have room. You don't have and, oxygen in there for something else.
There's fantasy football and my children. Those are two things. And if I wanted another hobby, I would have found it. Before now or
wow.
something
so
to
so you're
my,
telling you already started in the multi-million dollar zone and you basically talked yourself out and you said no matter what someone's offers I'm going to say no because I can't imagine how much my life would change. So you're talking about like generational wealth, like your family, like you can do whatever you want. I actually think this dovetails into it. The true, like, I don't do anything retirement thing of like, okay, I got plenty of money. I'm going to live in this great house. And it's like, my whole day is just like wide open. I have a hard time, like as a content producer and podcaster and all this stuff, like I have a hard time thinking I would do like, quote unquote, the whole idea in the 50s of doing nothing. Like you're just done. Like, I'm just going to golf every day, but I don't like golf, or like, I don't want to play golf every day. I don't know, but that's what people do. Like,
and no one, but who am I going to talk to? Like, who am I going to golf with? Because most of my buddies,
well, that's true. Yeah.
Either like football or in fantasy football.
But if you have all the money in the world, it's like, but if you're still not doing what you want, like let's say, oh, I would just sit around, like I would kind of do this, but I wouldn't have a day job and I would just kind of do some fantasy stuff. It'd be lots of fun. Or I'd play in $5,000 leagues if that was my thing or whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
And the point is you can't even do that. Yeah. So the money would be a tool to do what? I mean, I guess it would be to take care of your family, obviously. That'd be awesome. And, you know, maybe your living situation would be better, like quality of life.
Yeah.
But your quality of life might go down because you're like, well, I'm going to have to meet people at the grocery store and like, I don't know what.
And the other part of this is as soon as I'd slip up within a week and money would be taken back from me.
Oh, that's true. Do you even do this? Is it even executable? That's actually the best one you actually came up with. I could not do it.
That was the first. Yeah. That's the first thing that came to my mind is like, all right, if someone's monitoring this, I'm like within a week's time, they're going to be like, yeah, you need to give us back the money. So like, I couldn't even.
Oh, yeah. You go, is there some sort of transitionary process? Can I cut out one person every day for a year? And, you know, in 2 years, I won't be in any leagues. Can we soft sell the exit point on this? All right. You have thought of so many things that I didn't even think of with that question. I thought you'd just go, yeah, $2 million. I'd be good. Whatever. You're like, no, this is actually impossible. You created the impossible scenario and my brain's a pretzel and I hate you. All right. Shane Manila, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your time and talents, and frankly, sharing your and bearing your content producing and dynasty loving soul here. Where can folks find you on a regular basis? You're always active in the industry here. And what can folks expect from you now till week one? Some of the big things you have scheduled.
I mean, just the normal, right? Tuesdays, find me streaming on the YouTubes with Dynasty Trades and Five. I drop Shane Says allegedly every Friday, assuming my internet allows me. Anyone that knows, follows me, knows my struggles with the internet, the battles that I wage against it. If you want even more content, you can check out the Trades in Five Patreon. I don't know where it is actually. Just check it out. It's on the Destination Devi All Gas Patreon. Terrible salesman. But yeah, you can also find me on Twitter. I tweet things. I'm sure the link for the patrons on there, so check that out. But come check us out on Tuesdays, Tuesday nights, 8:30 live every Tuesday.
Excellent. Shane is the worst on X, but you know what, Shane? You're the best. We love you as a guest. We love you as a host. We love you as a podcaster. Please don't stop is what I would say. I am Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those best. Thank you so much. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, appreciate you, Scott.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.